We have the DHS secretary here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Democratic state lawmakers said this week that they will try once again to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin as allowed under the Affordable Care Act. So this is a standalone bill that is currently circulating for co-sponsors. Medicaid is where we begin our conversation with the head of DHS. Do you think Wisconsin should expand Medicaid under federal health law, or is this the wrong move for our state? What questions do you have for the leader of Wisconsin's Department of Health? Join in at 800-642-1234. Andrea Palm is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS. She formerly worked for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services throughout the Obama administration, serving as a senior policy advisor for public health agencies. She was a top advisor at the White House Domestic Policy Council during the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. Secretary Palm, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So it's been almost a decade since the Affordable Care Act was passed. How is it working here in Wisconsin?
It's a great question, Kate. I think one of the things that this governor and that this administration is really interested in doing is making sure that people understand the benefits of the Affordable Care Act and the positive implications it has had for health care in this country. Obviously, 20 million Americans now have coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act, including many here in Wisconsin. We do believe, we need to finish that job by expanding the Medicaid program. But I think one of the things that you will absolutely see from this administration and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance and I have launched a partnership to do just this, which is to increase enrollment in Medicaid, to increase enrollment through the private marketplace that was established under the Affordable Care Act, to get more people connected to high-quality, affordable health insurance while we continue to press for the protections that are critical in the Affordable Care Act, the pre-existing condition protections, the ability for folks to keep their kids on their plan through the age of 26, the fact that we all are eligible for preventive services at no cost to us is because of the Affordable Care Act. And so we are going to do what we can to help people understand the positive implications of the Affordable Care Act and protect those protections that are really pivotal parts of the law as we fight to expand the Medicaid program and join the 37 other states who have already accomplished that goal.
Do you see any ways that the Affordable Care Act could be improved, like tweaks that you wish you could make on it?
So I think there are always improvements that can and should be made. And, you know, healthcare evolves like other things, and so there will continue to be. I think what we know and what we hear is that Americans, Wisconsinites, continue to struggle with the cost of care. Transparency in the healthcare system would help us know what we're buying. It would help us understand what the costs are. A little transparency would go a long way in helping reduce some costs. I think, you know, you saw in the governor's budget some transparency proposals related to the cost of prescription drugs and increases in those costs. Those are areas, I think, where we could be doing some important work to help consumers understand the cost of things and help put a little public pressure in the area to help reduce costs. But there are other things we certainly could and should be doing as it relates to care coordination, making sure that our resources are managed in a way that we're getting the biggest bang for our buck through reducing duplication and being better coordinated. I think there's important work we could and should be doing in the behavioral health space. I think the integration of mental health and substance abuse treatment services into healthcare is a place where we could really see important gains in the health of people.
And I want to get there to the behavioral health piece in a moment, but Governor Evers, as we know, has made expanding Medicaid a real cornerstone of his election last year. It was a big piece of his state budget. But we know Republican lawmakers are soundly rejecting the idea. So do you believe Wisconsin needs the Medicaid expansion? And do you think it can get it?
Yeah, I think we absolutely do need to expand the Medicaid program. I think it is the fiscally responsible thing to do. I think the public, the people of Wisconsin understand that it is an opportunity to return their hard-earned tax dollars back to the state to make investments in them.
But how do you negotiate with Republican leaders who say, absolutely not?
Well, you know, earlier this week, a number of members of the Democratic caucus introduced a standalone piece of legislation. We will use that vehicle to try to gain additional support, to continue to talk about the importance of doing it. There certainly are Republicans who have expressed an interest, who have expressed a common sense understanding of the need to save the state of Wisconsin money and bring back those federal dollars. And so we will continue to look for Republican allies, for folks who are willing to stand with us to support the expansion publicly. And we will take the case to the people of this state to continue to talk to their members of the legislature about the importance of the expansion.
We're talking with DHS Secretary Andrea Palm, and you have a line this morning at 800-642-1234. What health issues do you think are most important in our state? What health issues do you want the DHS to address? What do you think state authorities should be working on? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary, let's turn to the opioid crisis. And your agency says the number of opioid-related deaths here in Wisconsin has nearly doubled in the last decade. How do we combat this epidemic?
This is a really important question and does, you know, as you suggested, dovetail really nicely with a broader behavioral health conversation. I think the opioid epidemic is something that we have struggled with nationally as well as here in Wisconsin. I did have the good fortune of being a part of a team at the federal level who was able to help secure $1 billion that resulted in grants here in Wisconsin to help fight the epidemic. There's lots of evidence around what works, reducing prescribing, increasing access to medication-assisted treatment, supporting folks who are in recovery. There's emerging evidence around peer support and other models that help folks who are who have beat the addiction to maintain their sobriety and their recovery. And so we will continue to build on the progress that the previous administration did while they focused on this issue. One of the things in the budget was funding for a hub and spoke model of care, which has some evidence from around the country about its potential effectiveness. So we are working with stakeholders to design and stand up a program here in Wisconsin in two rural and one urban communities yet to be determined to try this here in Wisconsin to make it a Wisconsin.
When you say hub and spoke, what do you mean by that?
So it is a care coordination kind of model that integrates the variety of kinds of services that somebody with a substance abuse disorder needs, both on the primary healthcare side, but also on the treatment and recovery side. And so it requires coordination in a way that supports an individual to get and stay healthy and seek recovery.
So moving on to vaping, the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin recently treated 8 teenagers with severe lung damage. Each had vaped in the months prior. What do we know about the dangers of vaping, and what should the state be doing about it?
So, Kate, I think this is something that folks ought to understand as a fundamental public health responsibility of the Department of Health Services. When our partners at the Milwaukee Children's Hospital alerted us to that first cluster of cases, our disease detectives, our investigators went. They have spoken with all of those patients, with those families, to try to figure out what the commonality among those youth and young adults who have seen this severe lung disease, and that common link is vaping. We continue to investigate it. There are new suspected cases. Illinois now has some cases, so now we're working with the CDC more broadly on this. But it is an important opportunity for us as a public health agency to raise awareness among the public about the potential dangers of vaping. I think one thing we need to be clear about is it is not a safe alternative to traditional cigarettes, and there are folks in that community who try to press that narrative. There is a lot that we do not know about the long-term health effects of vaping. What we do know is that it alters the brain development of adolescents. And so we caution parents to talk to their kids, to convince them not to vape. And we want parents to know that tobacco doesn't look like what it used to look like. Vaping products are designed to be attractive to youth and to kids. And so parents need to know what they look like, and they need to talk to their kids.
We're talking with DHS Secretary Andrea Palm as we explore healthcare issues, policies here in Wisconsin. You can join in. What health issues do you see in your community? What health support is needed? How do you see the opioid crisis playing out where you are? And what health topics or concerns do you have as your kids head back to school? Do they have their vaccinations? You can join in the conversation 800-642-1234 as you reflect on what you want DHS to prioritize. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Secretary Andrea Palm in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On a Thursday, you're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And you have a line to DHS Secretary Andrea Palm. We're looking at some of the issues that the Department of Health Services is working on, including addressing our state's aging population. Wisconsin's elderly population is projected to grow 6 times faster than the overall population by 2040. Wisconsin's share of people 65 and older is expected to grow to 1.5 million by 2040. So how are elderly people in your community getting along? What support services are needed? And what do you want to ask the leader of DHS? We're at 800-642-1234, and Secretary Palm stays with us. Secretary, nursing homes in Wisconsin have been closing. They're struggling to stay afloat. In the black, they say, due to challenges covering costs. How much of a problem is this trend considering our state's aging population?
It's a great question, Kate. I think one of the things that we are really focused on figuring out at DHS is exactly that question. And I think one of the confluence of factors here around an aging population and then a preference by seniors and others to remain in their homes and communities in living independently as long as possible are, and we have seen a significant rise in assisted living and home and community-based care, both here in Wisconsin and nationally. And that trend is also putting pressure on nursing homes because there are now these home and community-based alternatives. And so how those things fit together, how we respect seniors' desire to remain at home and in their communities, close to their neighbors and friends for as long as possible, yet make sure that the infrastructure exists so when they do need higher levels of care, nursing home care, that is available all across the state of Wisconsin is something that we are focused on. As you suggest, we know the population is aging, and so this is a problem that we should be being strategic and thoughtful about so that we are prepared for it when it gets here, because there's really not a good excuse for us not to be prepared considering we understand the demographics of this state.
And then looking at the worker shortage, there was this report last year that found more than 1,600 vacant caregiver positions at Wisconsin's about 400 nursing homes. So mm-hmm. what do we know about this worker shortage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, caregivers are a critical part of the system, and the shortages exist in nursing homes, in assisted living, in the facilities that the DHS operates that provide 24/7 care to folks who need it. So it is absolutely a critical issue. There was considerable money in the budget for us to focus on wages and supports for this particular workforce, and we're working quickly to get that money out the door. We think it's an important tool to retain and attract folks into this profession, and so we certainly are focused on it. The governor also issued an executive order earlier this spring on caregiving, and we will be announcing the members of that task force and begin our work to look at the workforce issues around caregiving and things we need to be doing as a state to make sure we have the qualified workforce that we need now and moving forward. So it will continue to be a focus for us.
When does that task force get going and the people named to it?
Mm-hmm. Very soon.
Okay.
We are finalizing that right now, and folks should be on the lookout for the announcement.
So here we are, summer winding down, families going back to school. How concerned are you about children's vaccination rates as we head into the new school year?
Mm-hmm. So I think, obviously, again, as the public health agency, we are very interested and desire folks to get the required immunizations. It's important for their own health. It's important for the health of folks who, because of compromised immune systems, can't themselves be vaccinated. So us protecting each other is an important part of getting and being current on your immunizations. We think back to school time is a good opportunity to sort of check and make sure that we're all up to date. And yesterday we released some resources for parents and for kids as they think about going back to school, including the immunization schedule, a link to a place where you can find providers and other resources that will help parents and families get ready to go back to school healthy and ready to learn.
Do you feel your agency would be prepared to handle a major measles outbreak?
Mm-hmm. So interesting, Kate. We keep coming back to these fundamental public health responsibilities of the department, and we are. It is something that we are tracking very closely. Obviously, there are outbreaks in states all across the country, including many of our neighboring states, and so we are. We watch very closely. We track suspected cases and have been doing that since I arrived here in Wisconsin, and they were doing it before, certainly. But the vigilance around tracking suspected cases until we know whether they are or whether they are not confirmed cases of measles is a critical part of how you respond to an outbreak, because if you find one confirmed case, then you chase all of the people they've been in contact with as a way to limit the spread of the disease. And so being on top of all those suspected cases is a critical part of that. We obviously currently do not have a measles case in Wisconsin, but we remain vigilant and will continue our very active surveillance around anything we see that might look like measles in the state of Wisconsin.
Talking with Wisconsin's top health official, Secretary Andrea Palm. Your questions, 800-642-1234. I want to get to lead. This week, Republican lawmakers introduced a couple bills to tackle lead in the drinking water at schools, daycares, group homes, summer camps. We saw that Governor Evers recently created a new position in the administration to address lead concerns. What is the best course of action here when it comes to addressing lead in our drinking water?
Mm-hmm. So this executive order and our work more broadly focuses on lead across the spectrum. Our role will be to coordinate those efforts. So while DNR is and will continue to be the point on lead in water, and we provide scientific expertise and assistance to them as they look at what the quality standards for lead and other things that are in water, so that we make sure that anything that is present there is at a level that it does not introduce health effects into the system. And so they set those standards. We help advise them scientifically, and we'll continue to do that. But for the Department of Health Services, our primary responsibilities and focus are around lead in homes. And what we know is that of the approximately 4,000 children who are lead poisoned every year in the state of Wisconsin, the primary source of that lead is in their homes, and that is lead paint. And so we are working to draw down new federal dollars to invest in abatement activities in older homes. And so we will continue to focus on what is a primary source of lead poisoning of children, and that is their own homes, and particularly homes that were built in the 1950s and certainly before 1978, when we stopped using lead paint in residential.
In our last few seconds with you, what lessons learned at the federal level? You spent so many years in D.C. What can you take from there that you can bring to Wisconsin and use on the ground in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. So what I really hope that I bring to the state of Wisconsin is a broad understanding of programs that that impact people all over the state. And, you know, the acronym soup of all of these programs are things I've been working on for decades and worked on at the federal level. And so since I've come to Wisconsin, it's really given me the opportunity to focus on learning Wisconsin, learning the specifics of how Wisconsin has implemented them, how they've been creative to deliver for the people of the state. But I hope that it has shortened my learning curve as it relates to the broad scope of the Department of Health Services, and really allowed me to dig in to the Wisconsin specifics to deliver for the people of the state.
Secretary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Have a good day.
Andrea Palm is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, previously served as Senior Counsel to the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under President Obama. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.